can talk about the discussion, a little bit question answer, and we explain more about the practice. Right. So you need to wait for other people? So, not happy. So, anybody start to ask any question?
But they said, would it be okay if I use the four guided meditation as part of the retreat practice as well?
But while you are doing the guardian meditations, he says, be aware that you are doing it. Because Seattle has already explained that meditation is improving the good qualities of the mind. So practicing the four guardian meditations is doing this exercise. And if you are also aware that you are practicing the four guardian meditations, it reinforces the strengthening of the good qualities of mind.
Aware, recognize, learning about the current level.
And when there is awareness present in any activity, learning also happens simultaneously.
When we are focusing on an object, would awareness would still be there, or do we seriously aware of focusing?
I would focus on the D Ashikidala, the point. Focus on the man, Tatia.
Seattle says, yes, when you are focusing on an object, awareness is already there. But you also have to know that awareness is there.
You need to recognize again.
So the reason you want to be aware of to recognize the awareness, he says, because otherwise we are too focused on the object. If we are too focused on the object, we don't know what is happening in the mind. In the beginning, he said, beginners are taught to observe an object that is obvious and prominent to cultivate the awareness. But he says when you have been practicing meditation for some time, then Seattle starts encouraging yogis to recognize that awareness. Yes, in Seattle's teaching, especially in the later years, in the recent years, Seattle's main emphasis has become to encourage yogis to recognize how the mind is working. So you see the activity of the mind and you also investigate how the mind is working. So for example, he says there was a yogi who reported that the yogi had thought that when the yogi was eating, the yogi was mindful. And when the yogi finished the meal, then the yogi realized there was no mindfulness. In fact, the yogi had been eating quite greedily. So Seattle asked the yogi, what made you think that you were mindful while you were eating, when in fact there was no mindfulness? So then the yogi thought about it, and slowly they realized, they recognized that because in trying to be mindful, the yogi had been paying attention to the object a lot. Yes, focusing on the object a lot. And because of that, so the yogi is not checking again and again to see whether awareness is still present. because the yogi is not checking again and again, after a while, the mind loses mindfulness. But the yogi doesn't recognize because it's so focused into the object.
Checking
to see if the awareness is still present. Yeah. Am I still aware? Am I still aware? Like that.
Meniat dia view ya, no? Oh, ayu ni, ni ayu, light ini, saya perlu ni boleh, no? Meniat, ni, dia apa ni? Meniat view lah. Jadi sih buat sesi kan, no? Ayu ni lah, oh, belum view kan? Ayu ni, ati light mak kan, no? Ayu ni tu lah tu, ni naik dalam kan, ni bu, ni naik dalam kan, terbawa naik ni dengan dia view lah. Oh, naturally ti naik dengan dia view lah, light tu.
Yesterday, Seattle said, somebody asked this question. Somebody asked Seattle, if there are many objects that the mind is being aware of, how can the mind calm down? So Seattle wants to clarify this. He says, when he says that the mind can know many objects, he's talking about what the mind is naturally already aware of. He's not saying that we should try to become aware of many objects. He's not saying try to expand how many objects you know. He's saying very naturally, if the mind knows one object, it knows one object. If it knows two or three or four, let it know. He says what's important is the awareness is there. He's not saying follow the objects, try to know more objects. Just if the mind is naturally knowing X number of objects, allow that mind to do that. The mind is aware.
Now, in reference to the question asked by Mr. Gore and been answered by Saida, is it true that awareness is actually not our work? Our work is more of to recognize that awareness is already there? So, is it true to say, Saido, that awareness is a
He said, but there's one thing to know about awareness. Although awareness is always present, he says awareness has its object. And sometimes the object is a concept, sometimes it's reality. So we have to also recognize where the awareness's attention is turned to. Because it could be on the wrong object, then it's wrong view, right?
Ordinarily,
people's awareness is always turned towards the objects. Always. Only as we meditate, you know, we learn to take the right object as the object of awareness. The right
thing. Right.
For example, when we are looking or seeing, yeah? He says, what is our object? What do we recognize? What do we see? The objects are all there. The reality objects, the conceptual objects are all there, but what is our awareness attuned to?
My question would be more that I know.
Naturally, our minds tend to be aware of concepts.
Concepts, yes.
So, for example, we want to meditate. How do we learn to become aware of seeing? Not the things that we are seeing, but the awareness of seeing as an object.
Being conscious of the seeing itself?
So for someone who knows what it means now, he says then the mind's attention will be more attuned to that,
yes.
To recognizing that reality. So some of the yogis here, would every yogi here understand how to be aware of seeing, right?
also ich meine, da kann er Björn mit Sing und Eros, belum Björn mit Nye Manti ni, recognize lo, Nye Nawati ni, sekuku fokus sama lo banyak Nye Nye Manti ni, El, Legion, macam-macam Legion bima, objektif lo tu, yudah dua men, Nye Nye Manti ni, Nye 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 Pien ni, Tau Ti ni, Elo, recognize lo bima.
So, Siara is explaining further how we can learn to experience the thing is happening. He says, when, you know, your eyes are open, but you're not focusing on anything. You're not looking at anything in particular, but you begin to recognize that the very act of seeing is happening. You know, that seeing is happening. That's the only way we can say that.
See happening, knowing what doing is knowing what thing is, yes.
And if you can then recognize that you know that that seeing is happening, you're aware that seeing is happening, and then you also recognize that you are conscious of this. Yes, then it's a complete picture.
Okay, so close your eyes. Nanti pun hai ni mah.
So, Mr. Go, he says, close your eyes. Can you see? No.
Open.
Seeing is happening.
Close again. Open. Close again.
Yes, this is the way Siara teaches.
This is a machine. You're not looking anymore. But you see. You just recognize it, it's happening. Is it difficult? You practice like this. But this is a habit. You need to try to skill. When I practice also like this, I open the eye, I look around, I close the eye, open the eye, I check in how to observe this as an object. Okay? Yeah.
After some time, you just open your eyes, you got maybe.
No, gently lah. Why should not like a Malaysian style. And another one, you eyeball move. You open the eye and eyeball moving. The view different or the same view or different view. This is object. And also you know the eyeball moving when it's there. You know the eyeball is moving, awareness is there. That time, you recognize. When awareness is present, you recognize the view is different.
You recognize movement.
Movement is eyeball. Eyeball. The view is different. Try slowly, slowly. You can start like this. Then seeing is become object. You know this is object. And also looking. Seeing and looking is the different nature. Looking is the mind, not I. The mind is focused to the same object. Now, you are looking what? What are you looking? But other thing is you are seeing. This is seeing, you are looking to me. You know you are looking. That is the mind, also mind activity. The mind is pay attention. This is looking. But other thing, you not pay attention, but you can see.
So, Sado, it also means that in total silence, when there is no more sound, that also is a hearing object.
No. Tama object. Actually, not sound is a tama yo. Hearing is a must be sound.
Yes. But in total silence?
It's a tama yo, object.
It's still object.
Still object, it's a tama yo.
But it's not a hearing object.
Not a hearing object. Hearing object is you must have object or sound. Sound you hearing and silent is object the same, but door different. Sound is the I hear door. Silent is the mind door.
Oh. Okay.
And close the eye and looking also same. See and close the eye, don't see is dhamma object. Because of outside object here, then you have the eye conscious examining. Outside object not have is the mind object. That's why people they close the eye, very easy to see the imagination.
Yeah.
I want to tell him to be clear. Now he knows the moving there, he awares there. Awareness is in the eye.
But do I have to bring awareness to the eye more, or is it automatically there in the process of seeing?
Let's see, why it's very important for a little bit. Maybe I take a sick up and see why I'm doing a bit of
time. Depend on you. If he's for very beginner, that's why I ask him to be. Eye boy is easy to know. Right? For you, no need. You long time you practice already, the watch the mind is aware or not. Awareness there or not, that's all. For him, it's very now new. That's why I try to tell him his awareness is here, he can know easily the eye boy moving. So that time, awareness is here. Then he can see the view is different. I is moving this, the view. I moving this, the view also different. So he can more realize like this. So awareness is there is important.
I have one more deeper question to that word, sati. Usually we refer to mindfulness as a doing. But I start to realize that we can't do mindfulness. The moment you remember, the instant moment, the awareness has already taken place. So does it mean that the awareness is not actually a part of doing, it's a naturalness of the mind? Each time when you remember, the awareness has always been there.
Right, that's why Siaro suggests that in order to be mindful, rather than to do mindfulness, he suggests to remind ourselves so that the awareness is already there.
So the word sati actually is not more of awareness itself, it's more of to be back into the present, because the moment you're present, the awareness has already happened there.
But we lack practice in being in the present moment. We're often lost in daydreams, so we are practicing now to come out of our daydreams and back to the present. Yeah.
Now we are not to judge it. Present moment is near the Sura. I am the creating present moment near the Sura. The present moment is near the Sura. The present moment is near the Sura. The present moment is near the Sura.
And he says, we also mistakenly think that being in the present moment means we must know some particular one object in the present moment. He said, no, that's not being fully in the present moment. When we are fully in the present moment, then we know everything that we could possibly know about the state of our mind, our bodies, our environment in the present moment. Then we are fully awake in the present moment.
Sadhguru, I'd like to ask about defilement. I want to give three scenarios. The third scenario is the one that I don't know what to do. So the first scenario of anger, that in the olden days, when I was aware of anger, it comes with the self. That means it's bad. That's why I'm aware of it. Or I'm aware of intent to get angry. That's why I didn't get angry. But it all comes with atta. There is a self, there is a control that is not good. Subsequently, during this practice, I'm aware that there is just an awareness. This awareness, this knowing is very natural. It even see the conditioning of the mind that is angry and there's expectation, there is a wrong attitude, and then when it's aware, it ceases off. And then even pleasant state, it doesn't hold on to it. So there is no really differentiation between, good state, or it clings on to it, or defilement arise. But it just knows. It's just like a very detached observer. There's no self there until I come out of it, of course. That one's okay. Can I continue? The two scenario which I like to ask Sayadaw, what mark am I missing is because I got upset after that. Yesterday I perceived that a certain conversation was going on, and even though I thought I know the judgment, I judged that the person is putting words into Sayadaw's mouth, I saw my irritation, and I know my attitude is trying to control my set, Apta came up and so on, but I'm still angry. And I was checking with Talun and he says, but that's part of the process. But I guess something is still missing. After I realized that, oh, it's nature, the anger subside a little. But it wasn't like the second scenario I gave that, yeah, it was really part of a process. This one, the involvement is there. I know there's an involvement, but there's nothing I can do about it, even though I know that the knowing here seems to be very tainted. So what is the mark that I miss most in this third scenario?
Already has, are different. So the wisdom is not strong enough to overcome that anger. He says in the second scenario you gave, the level of that anger is matched by that level of wisdom. So there is seeing, there is recognition of what's happening and freedom from it. But in the third scenario, he says the anger is stronger. The wisdom is the same as in the second scenario, so it's not, the wisdom has not matched that level of anger.
Not enough. How much you do?
Not strong enough yet. So what you need to do is just recognize. Every time that much anger arises, all you can do is recognize. This is happening. This is what's happening. He says, and you know what we can learn from such a scenario? We can learn that this much wisdom is not enough for this much anger.
You need to learn like this. That is more important. Well, take a lesson, no? You done any experience, you can learn something to get the lesson. This lesson leading you next how to do.
Just now, when we refer to just now what you say, actually the awareness is always there, whether it's an object, it's a concept or reality. Okay. So, take for example, I'm daydreaming, but I'm not aware of it, or actually dreaming, but I'm not aware of it. Only when I recognize at that moment that I'm aware. So, can I say that if awareness comes from headstart? Okay, if you become very sharp, in later time, you actually can recall what you are daydreaming. This is how they can recall past life. Eh?
Yes, right. Because Sanya is walking naturally. Because of Sanya, you can remember. You knowing or not, Sanya is walk itself.
Sanya is perception.
When the
sometimes we, he says, even if we've forgotten something from the past, he says when we practice meditation and our awareness, samadhi and when the mind becomes very clear because of samadhi and awareness, he says when all that is very strong, he says we can actually recall things in the past that we weren't even aware at that time, but now we will know what the mind was thinking at that time. Yeah, so Seattle has an experience like that where when he was very young, there was a time when he was very drunk, dead drunk. So at that time, he definitely has no awareness. He was not meditating or anything. He was very drunk. But when he began seriously to meditate, and in the later years, he had... in his state of, you know, in his state of clarity, in recalling that time when he was drunk, he can remember his feelings, why he was doing that, why he said the things he did, which he didn't know at that time, but now he knows.
When we drive a car, like last night I said that once in a while, we sort of daydream a little bit. While on the road, we are seeing multiple objects passing by or whatever. Then my mind sometimes gets lost and think of my office, think of the stock market, that kind of thing. So, while awareness is on the road, is it right to say that the awareness of this thinking of the stock market while on the road is it still called awareness or just?
The mind is thinking about the stock market, then there's awareness.
The right awareness. I stock market of the DR, wrong awareness.
Yes, so thinking of the stock market is awareness, but it's wrong awareness. Then when you recognize the mind is thinking of the stock market, it becomes right awareness.
Should not be thinking of stock market while driving.
You just need to recognize the mind is doing it. You can think of the stock market. Because things happen naturally, you cannot stop what is happening naturally. So thoughts arise in the mind because of habit. When you think of, if you are involved in the stock market, you will think of the stock market often. Yeah, this is normal. So he says when we remember something and it's causing a defilement, you know that's the wrong awareness. But then when you become again aware of this same thing and it's helping the mind to become more aware, more conscious, leading to more wholesome states of mind, then it becomes right awareness. way.
Oh.
Whatever wrong, craving about an illusion. Motivation is craving about delusion is wrong.
Bante, I seem to have noticed, like for me, in the daytime, I can maintain better kusala state of mind. But when the nighttime comes, I find it more difficult to. I find it very easy to sink into that akusala state of mind. And also that, also with health as well, when I'm feeling healthy, I can notice the kusala and akusala state of mind. I can try to abandon akusala when it rises now. But when I'm unhealthy and just like at the brink of catching flu and all that, and I'm not even aware that I'm getting sick, and then I go berserk with my thoughts and my behavior, that I think is awareness not mature, not strong enough.
Yes, because it's not strong enough. And you know why is it we are more able to, you know, keep a check on it in the daytime and not at night?
I think easier to run away. I can find other things to do and.
So when you're able to distract yourself, you don't handle it, but you distract yourself. So, but in, at night when you can't distract yourself, then it. But when you are only distracting yourself in the daytime, it doesn't mean that actually the mind has a handle on the defilements. You're not dealing with it. You're only avoiding it. You're only avoiding it, but you're not dealing with it. But sometimes, when we understand how distracting the mind can help the mind to not get involved with the defilements, we can use it in a wise way to help the mind. So, he said, sometimes we are busy, so we can't indulge in a defilement. So what we can do is distract the mind so that it's not overwhelmed by the defilement. And then he says, when we are not busy and we can't avoid the defilement, then we should take that opportunity and face it to, and deal with it.
This one, I'm not sure how. I mean, awareness to me is like, you know your mind that, oh, craving has arisen, now you have a craving mind. Dosa has arisen means that, oh, you're aware that you have a dosa mind. But like in a shopping center when, I see this handbag and, oh, craving has arisen, I have got a craving mind. But then, so what? I've got 10 handbags, I'll go for it. Well, it's just that, the mind is like debating, yeah, so what? Well, you know, you can recognize it is a craving mind, but so what?
And your awareness alone is not enough, look.
Yes, I think.
The work of awareness, like you said, is only to recognize. Awareness is helpless. All it does is it's a witness. It just witnesses what's happening, but it's helpless. And he says it's wisdom that will come in and prevent things and so on. And when there's not enough wisdom, then the defilement gets
its way.
He says, so when the craving for the handbag is strong, there's no wisdom, then the craving also kicks awareness out the door.
Yes, I think it also applies to dosa. Anger is like, you can see it coming, but then, then you get sucked into it, and then,
That's why Seara said, right view, more important than awareness alone. Yes, must come first. So he says, you know, we go wrong in that first thing we say to ourselves, I have craving, I have anger, and already the wrong view is in. We're identified with the nature of what's happening. So that's the first thing we need to recognize. There's wrong view. So we need to then switch it, you know, and recognize, oh, the mind is being angry. The mind is being greedy. Once the I comes in, the I gives strength to the defilement. Defilement gets stronger. Because even in recognizing the defilement, it's not pure awareness. The I is recognizing the defilement. So for Siado, he says, whenever he thinks, okay, he's going to contemplate this or he's going to observe this, he says, first he checks, from which point of view is he going to look at this? Is it going to be I am looking at this or look, observing happening? So Seara said, you know, at that point, if the mind could see that this is the nature of craving, he says, then you know what the mind would say after that? He says, so what about the bag? Why should I buy the bag?
Well, craving is obvious, you know, what is so what? Huh?
So when craving is strong, then so what if I'm aware? But when you see that this is just the nature of craving, then you say, well, the bag is not so important.
I always remember Sayado always said this, is this necessary? Always ask, always check.
So that's wisdom coming in.
Necessary or not, I think, do I
if you have time to think, it means the wisdom is getting stronger.
Thank you, Bhante.
I remember just now Sada mentioned about every situation there is something for us to learn. It is a very good idea, but at times that idea also becomes a pain to us, because there may come a time when our wisdom is weak, we go asking, what can I learn from here? What can I learn from here? And because of the desire to learn something, we couldn't learn anything at all. So, as what Lai Fan mentioned in the third scenario, so what should I do now? You know, the question always comes back, what should I do now? And I found, just because we have the idea, what should I do now comes in, you know. So it's paradoxical in a sense.
So Seattle repeats this, and he says this very often. He says, he tells us the path. He tells us what is possible, the pointers on the way, all the signboards that we will see. But he says he's not asking you to get it. He's not saying you have to do it. He's saying it's possible to learn lessons from every situation. He's not saying you have to learn a lesson from every situation. So you don't have to, but it's possible to. You just open yourself to the possibility. So he says he opens the door to expand the yogi's possibilities. But when the yogi tries to force all the possibilities into existence, then it becomes a problem. So Seattle always says he's only programming your mind. He's just allowing you to hear this so you know it's possible. So it's just a program, and then let it work by itself. When the time comes, it will present its understanding.
But I also saw in this very important aspect of everything you can learn in a situation, there are times when the time is not right. You are just there as you are there, it's perfectly well in the space. And to recognize that you're perfectly well at the space and you can't recognize, it's a lesson to learn too. You know what I mean? Yeah, when you know it, when you don't know it, then it becomes a self-beating up again.
Yeah, he says when you are content in the moment for what it is, even if you're suffering badly, but you say, well, I'm aware, that's good enough.
I got my wisdom.
That's wisdom, he says. That's a lesson, yes, like you said. He says, but, you know, when you can do that.
I go on Bulon Kadi.
That's harder.
And I think she'll do accept Lulu Yadi. Best situation.
It's only when there is real understanding that you can accept even difficult situations.
But the funny thing what I saw is most of the time when we ask, what can I learn from here? Actually,
yes. He says, and because of the understanding, because of the understanding of what the practice really is, you can be content with the present moment. He says, then there's no doubt about what to do next.
Yes.
You know, it's the practice is in the present moment. It's not about the future. And it's because yogis are weak in this understanding of what the practice is supposed to be that they come and ask him when they're in trouble, what should I do? What am I supposed to do with it? How can it become better?
That question I find in myself, each time when I keep on asking that, it's not that I want to learn the lesson, I want to get out from the problem.
Okay, but what? We want to avoid, not learn.
Learning, avoid, learn what we learn.
He says, if we want to learn, there's no desire to avoid anything because we want to learn. He says, because for someone who's interested in learning, they're not troubled by the experience. The experience is, it only feeds the learning. So they're very interested in how they are reacting and everything because that's where the learning is.
I have the question is what I should do next. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. One of my sitting that I realized I noticed a sound. Okay, at first the mind can recognize, oh, this sound, that sound, follow it, like, so I don't say I follow the object. So when I continue like that, I let it be, like I continue. Then I see the mind actually angry. Hey, I don't want sound anymore. I want other object. I don't want any more sound. I want to aware of other things. Then when this thing come up, I check at the mind. The mind, I see that, hey, you are in control. I'm not supposed to control. Things happen. So when I recognize that, okay, the mind come to a peaceful state. Okay, then the next moment is everything come out, the mind touch is awareness. Everything come out is awareness. But then another question come out. Why I doing this? What is the thing that I get from this?
Mm. He says, so that's right so far. You're recognizing everything that's happening, there's dissatisfaction, wanting to control, recognizing that. And then, you know, then everything is fine, right? Whatever you know, there's awareness and recognition of that. Then you start to question that.
Yeah.
So now you know that. That's fine. You know that, how you feel. You just continue to be recognizing whatever's coming up. He says, you know, you have gone through a process of doing this, of being aware of whatever's happening, and you have seen the results of that, of seeing what's happening. So why do you still have the question, why are you doing this? Why am I doing this?
My mind is saying that, oh, it's not oh, you know. When it's like anger, it's like, wow, you are so, it's so exciting.
The value of the work that leads to the results. So your mind just wants the result. It doesn't know how to value the work of awareness that leads to those things. That's why when you're just being aware, there's no oomph, because you don't realize this is the thing. Yeah, this is the... He says, so say when we are aware, our anger decreases. Yes? He says, can you imagine how much we are relieved? Like, how much relief you get because of the presence of awareness leading to that result? If you had not been aware at all, what would have happened?
I would keep controlling what I want to see, what I want to observe, and anger.
So we cannot imagine like how far anger can take us, right? Sometimes it can take us very far. There can be very bad results. So that's how the potential relief we are getting when there's awareness and there is. He says, so the reason why we never learn this lesson of appreciating the process of awareness, the reason we don't get to it is because what we do is we start enjoying the result. We do the process, the work of being aware, and we get a result. Say anger is gone, but we just like that result. We don't understand the journey we took.
I'm a happy pin, enjoy pin. Learning process.
So when we start becoming happy with the result, we start enjoying the result, he says learning stops happening. We just then greed sets in. We just want that again and again. He says, you know, it's possible. In fact, it should happen. You know, we invest a little bit of awareness and say, for example, our anger decreases. He says, it should be that we recognize, oh, when there's this much awareness, there is this, like, it helps my anger this much. If I didn't have this much awareness, then my anger would be so much more. Like, we should be able to see this equation. He says, why are we not able to see it? He says, because we're so busy patting ourselves on the back, oh, my anger is gone, you know, enjoying our results.
And so at times, we had to inquire some right question to the moment. if I don't know how to ask the right questions, the situation cannot, like, I cannot answer. I mean, the words can't continue. I see this.
That's right, he says, this is true. But if you find asking the questions is making the mind, you know, is becoming complicated, stop asking questions. Sometimes, he says, the mind needs enough data, enough information to get an answer. So sometimes we don't have enough information yet, so even if we ask the right question, we cannot have an answer. So we have to be patient, wait for the
information.
So in the beginning, Seattle talks about asking questions, you know, but he asks, he tells the yogis to use questions so that they will be more interested to seek and to observe, but he's not saying that you must be able to get answers. It's not important to get answers, just to be interested.
For interest.
He says, in fact, when we don't know an answer, it's very intriguing. So we become very interested to explore. And that's what he wants. But sometimes we want the answer. Then it becomes difficult. We get disappointed by the fact that the answer is not coming.
So no, it's very stressful to come for a retreat. Because I have a defilement, every time I must improve, I want to impress Sado. So I have a lot of stress. I have impress Sado, so I have a lot of stress.
When yogis come to for a retreat, Seattle is already impressed.
Now we know, not a good shit. Lale Zurewa, retreat Lale Zure, don't be that.
And when we make it to a retreat, we have already improved. So what else do you want? He says, in a moment of awareness, in a moment, every moment of awareness, there is improvement. He says, we always already gain as much as we put in. So if we put in a moment, we've gained that much. But he says, maybe we won't get as much as we want, but we get as much as we deserve. So if we remove the wanting, he says, there's no more problem. We're already getting what we deserve. All the time.
I want to ask this. It's regarding work and the mind. I was doing a piece of work where it is totally new from the old format I'm doing. Okay. So I noticed that my mind is so resistant to that new piece of work. That every time I open the book, the mind is already resistant to it, and it's keep. And I actually observe the mind is trying to fix the new material back into the old one, so that it gives it a certain structure. And every time I push, sort of like when I start looking at just the new material, the mind is trying to find a structure that is similar to the old one, and I can observe that it just wants to go back to the old structure and not wanting to see that it's something possibility new. You want me to stop now?
Okay.
Uh,
Okay, so what happens then is that I can see this feeling of agitation coming up, and of course the body follows the mind, is gets really upset. The mind gets really like, I'm getting irritated, and I'm trying to find a solution. The solution, the mind keeps like, come on, make the link and get on with it. That kind of thinking. But I cannot make the link because it's new. So when I notice that the agitation goes up, I actually put down the book, and I just don't want to increase the agitation with it. I have been doing this about 4 or 5 times already, and nothing is coming out from that piece of work still.
He says, when we're not able to give up the old, we cannot find the new.
Yeah, well, I know how to give up the old.
What? You don't know how to give up the old? Attachment, he says. Seattle says this is the mind's tendency. The mind likes what is familiar, what it's skillful at, and it wants to stay with that. It becomes attached to that. And it's resistant to the new, especially if it thinks it's going to be difficult. Yes? So he says, you already know this idea. You already know this psychological bend in the mind. Yeah. He says, all you need to do is recognize it every time it arises in the mind. But knowing that this is what it's doing, he says, don't give power to it. Yeah, don't give in to it. He says, and renew your interest in the new each time.
Mm. One thing
actually is just a simple changing of ideas in the mind. If every time you recognize this idea come up in the mind, you know, that's motivating you to behave this way, and you intentionally change the idea. Every time, just intentionally change the idea, slowly the mind will veer towards the new and find it more interesting.
What I noticed was that yesterday, well, there was a little bit of difference, is that I noticed that the mind, why the mind cannot let go was because inside there was an idea that the new one will not be even better than the old one, and it keeps gathering evidence that the new one wasn't as good as the old one. So the mind was actually judging all the time, and it wasn't really looking at the material. So I'm actually watching my eyes where it was going. It was just flipping through the thing, and it was like, no.
So anger is observing.
Yes, that's why the irritation went up.
Yeah, that's why. So
this is not helpful. He said it's no use going on in the same way. He says so if it's going to be beneficial, change it.
Yeah, I was just going to share that how the mind can actually keep putting me in an old stuck position if I do not change, and then nothing will come out from it.
He says, so, you know, what we also need to recognize is that we can't force change. We can recognize what's happening, the stuckness. We can make the simple intention to change, but not forcefully. Yeah. So not to have too much desire to change also, but to be aware every time.
Yeah. Thank you. Sayado, I just want to share a little observance during breakfast this morning. So I observed one yogi pick out
a few apple and soak into the porridge. So I could see my eyes like, hey? Why is she doing that? And not just me, I observed another two yogis sitting next to me could have the same impression like, hey, why is she doing that? So immediately it's funny for me, you know, it's like same mind thinking, because number one is like we are so trapped in the concept like, I don't do that, it's strange to see like that, what is she doing? And then but me and the other yogi, we're like you know, then she hinted me, oh, could be soaking the apple, keep it warm. Then the mind like, okay. So there are two things happening here. It's like, number one, we are so trapped in our concept, I recognize that. And number two is like, the mind need an answer, it felt soothing, like, okay. Whether or not it's that yogi's intention, we don't know, okay? Could be, maybe she just like it, it's not to make the apple warm, or maybe that's how she likes to eat the apple, you know? But the thing is that the mind is like very happy, like, oh, it's because the reasoning, we just create the reason, and then the mind feel very, relaxed, like that. So this...
Like you said, that's the lesson, you know, to see how when we see something that we're not used to doing, we think it's so strange or so, but he said actually there's nothing strange about it at all, it's just what's happening now.
Yeah.
So he asked whether this, like, you know, you talked about, like, you know, thinking that maybe she wants to keep the apple warm. So he asked whether this is yoniso manasikara, right thinking or right attitude, like, you know. But Ciara said, no, this is not right thinking. Like you said, this is just another delusion. We make an assumption.
Yeah.
It's not even real because we don't know what that person is really thinking.
Yeah,
we make
exactly.
an assumption and make ourselves happy with an assumption.
Yeah.
And then that's delusion at work.
Delusion.
That's delusion because we really don't know, but we make up our own story.
That's right.
It's like mad people. You know, they think a rock is gold and they're so happy, or they carry it around like it's a treasure. So the ultimate right attitude is porridge is food, apple is food, it's all food, so what?
Yes, okay. And all will go into and mix in the stomach anyway. and also another aspect, right?
He says, so we really see how the mind is unable to see things as they are. The mind needs to make a story out of things. It needs to extrapolate, oh, it should be, should not be, which is all just the mind stuff, right? He says, okay, say you see a house burning. Do you see that as good or not good?
Yeah, obviously it's bad. It's like, wow, it's burning, oh my God.
But the owner is happy. Because he's going to get insurance. Is that good or bad? So how should we see it? As it is, the house is burning. That's all.
Yeah, well, I was going to...
So he's explaining how things are just as they are, and we don't need to when we don't really know, make judgments on it as good or bad. So when someone really understands things as they are, or know understands what as it is means, that's how they see it. This is happening now. That's all. So then another person asked, so I see the house burning, should I just ignore it? So Siara said, how you should see it is as it is, the house is burning. Then you need to know what is the right thing to do. And then if you know, you should do the right thing.
Dal 999. Because in my little breakfast experience, it came to me also, the third point, which is it's really hard to see things as it is because of the preconditioned mind. Because when it's happened, effects is already taken place.
Yes, because the mind is trapped in its old ideas. Yeah.
It's said that it only can realize after when it
happens. But Siaro said that's correct. All you need to do is recognize the mind is doing this. And as you see the mind doing this over and over again and recognize this is the principle of how the mind is working, the mind will change. Then the mind becomes more and more open and accepting of things as they are.
Yeah, I must say one last point is I enjoy watching what's happening. It was quite funny.
Yeah, if you find it funny, that's good. That means the mind is interested.
Saido?
He says, whatever we might be watching, so long as we find it funny to watch, he says, then it means the mind is doing its work.
Saido, I saw the same scene of... Same scene of this yogi putting apple into her porridge. I just noted it and I went on with my own eating. It doesn't bother me. Is it because I have a bad attitude of being indifferent or not interested in things?
So he says then you need to see if you weren't interested in that, like where was your attention? What was the mind interested in?
I saw her being there. I noted it.
What about interest here? Now, appear how interest machine. What's interest here?
So he says, but you see, you're not interested in that. So the mind is not, your mind is not, right, your mind is not interested in questioning why she's doing it and so on, but that means your mind's interest was somewhere else. Do you know what your mind was paying attention to?
I look and I continue with my food.
Right, so maybe you're just interested in yourself. When we're more interested in ourselves, we're not so interested in what's happening outside. No, that's not a judgment. There's no good or bad. He's just saying if the mind's interest is not one place, we should be conscious of where it is actually is. It's still awareness, yeah? What are you aware of? So long as this awareness is at work, he said it is good. Awareness is at work. You just need to recognize where it is at work. Yeah?
But it didn't interest me to question why she did that and how it plays or whatever.
Right. And it's also personality based. Some people aren't so interested in other people. Yeah, all sorts of things.
But
environment
people.
Yes. But I mean, he says, so, you know, we need to be aware of not only ourselves, but also a bit about our environment. I mean, which you were aware of what was happening, but you came back to yourself. He says it's like, you know, one yogi came and said to him, that yogi saw another yogi doing something, and he said, and the yogi said to the teacher, why was that yogi doing that? And so the teacher asked the yogi, why did you think that? So what the teacher, you know, the meaning is, like, that yogi was interested in what was happening outside. The teacher asked the yogi to find out what's interesting about why her own mind was doing that. Yeah.